Hey everyone, welcome to In Focus with Adam Goldberg Photography and Joseph Roybal Photography. As you can see, we are not in our native environment, so to speak. I am in a different office and Joe is out on the road getting some landscape work going. So anyways, Joe, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, dude. Yeah, I'm excited for this episode because I am in my hometown right now. Grand Junction, Colorado, getting ready to head out for about 3 weeks with another photo friend. So I've got my backdrop and, yeah, dude, excited.
Cool, man. No, I like the truck. It's a good look.
On me.
Yeah. All right. So this week we are talking about, since you're kind of going to be hitting the road and stuff like that, kind of our go-to camera and lens combination for travel, which I think is relevant to a lot of our audience now that people are starting to travel maybe a little bit more. I know that the coronavirus is still going on, but people are starting to get out and do a little bit more travel. And so as they kind of do that, I think this is relevant to them. And maybe as they get some international travel, kind of what's kind of a good go-to camera and lens to keep things light? Because I think that's a problem that so many people have. It's so easy to be like, I'm going to pack three bodies, six lenses, and you got everything, which is great, but your bag weighs 200 pounds.
Right. And then you also can't get anything out of your bag and ready to take a shot.
Yeah.
In quick enough. And so, yeah. So me being on the road, we thought this would be a really fun, good topic to discuss with everyone on this episode. So I'm excited because I know Adam and I are similar with this, but we're also everybody's different. And so we thought we'd give our thoughts to you.
Yeah. And I think the first thing that I want to mention before I'm going to throw it to you first, so you can talk first, but the thing that I do want to mention is there is something in everybody's budget for a good travel camera. So I'm obviously going to talk about kind of what my go-to is if I'm just bringing one thing, but I'll probably talk about some other options as well. I'm a Canon shooter, so I'm going to be talking about things from a Canon standpoint. So if what I'm going to be sharing with you isn't necessarily in your budget, there are tons of other great options out there. You might not have quite the image quality or the full frame camera, which we can talk about that as well, kind of some of those differences too. But just kind of something for folks to consider is that there is something out there for everybody, regardless of your budget. And it's just kind of a matter of finding what works for you.
Yep.
So with that, Joe, kind of what's your one body lens you go with, your go-to?
Well, and that's what I was going to say is that for me and how I work, I feel like I always have to have like two with me, but if two bodies and a lens or two, but if I were to go with like just one body, one lens, man, that's, if I were sent to an island.
Yeah, exactly. So, you can bring one camera and one lens with you.
Not a book, not some beef jerky. So I would probably, I would definitely use, so currently I'm using the Sony setup. The A7R3 is my primary body. I would then take a 24-105, would probably be my go-to, just take it with me. I have it in my bag. I use it all the time. I love it.
So that's the Sony, is it the 2.8 or is it the F4?
Oh, so the 24-105 is, I believe it's a 4.5 to 5.6, somewhere in there. It's a variable.
Okay.
Yeah, on aperture. Yeah. So that's my favorite. That's my favorite. But like, for me, I'll also kind of like risk or, take more weight with me. So I have two bodies and then that lens and my Sigma 14-24 2.8. Because like with those two, I can get done everything I need. With the 14-24 and the 24-105, that range is perfect.
Nice.
And then if I need to crop in a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's covering a lot of the bases on a landscape perspective. I mean, if you're at 14 to 105, I mean, there's probably not much else you really need to reach, right?
Totally. And you know, like at 105, I can crop in. If you think like a lot of people like to have 70 to 200, I find that I can crop in from 105 to 200, if you will. And if I shoot in the center of the photo or the lens, if for example, there's a bird or there's something, and I just think in my mind, I need to just crop in. So I'm going to shoot in the center of the lens, that being the sharpest point of, you know, the lens. And then that works usually really, really well.
Nice. And then what's your camera body to go with that?
So yeah, like I just glossed it, but I use, my main body is the Sony A7 R3.
Okay.
And I specifically went with that camera. I just moved over to Sony, but I specifically went with that camera over the R4, a little bit for financial, so I could have two bodies. So I have the A7 R3 and the A7 III. But I went with the A7 R3 because I just came from the Nikon D850, and I really liked those megapixels, just that number. I didn't really feel, you know, and this we could talk about some other time, but that I didn't really feel that having 60 megapixels, even as a landscape photographer, was 100% necessary if I photograph the scene in good light, or if in challenging light, I photograph with the histogram to the right, you know. And so that's a great topic. I think we could talk about histogram sometime.
I think that is an excellent topic. Definitely write that one down.
Write it down. So I went with that camera setup because I wanted small and light. I wanted the A7 III and the A7 R3. They match each other really well. And it's been so far really, really a pretty solid setup.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, and it sounds like it's an amazing landscape setup. Like you said, I mean, if you're using the A7 R3, you got the 24 to 105. I mean, you're probably hitting a lot of good landscape options. And like I said, if you did tack on the 14, was it 14 to 24, you said?
Yep.
So, I mean, if you have the 14 to 24, I mean, that's such a wide range, you know, and you're hitting a lot of, again, that good landscape zone with, you know, that 14 to 16 millimeter, which I think is right. Pretty common on the landscape side for folks. But, you know, I think, you know, to a discussion that we had, I think on the architectural side of things too, is sometimes going wider isn't always better. And that's why, you know, I think it's interesting
that
you said that the 24-105 would probably be your go-to for travel versus a 14 to 24 if you could only pick one, because you know, when you're doing more, you know, travel, you can hit some of the landscape stuff at 24, but then you can kind of, like you said, get some of those cool zoom in shots and other types of photography that might want to do, whether you're traveling into a town, a city, anything, that getting up to 105 does give you a little bit extra flexibility.
A ton. And so, you know, you think about 35 millimeters is a perfect focal length for, you know, portraits. So I love 35 millimeters for portraits. So I absolutely love that. And actually, honestly, now thinking about it, the 24-105 is an F4, if I'm not mistaken, a constant. So yeah, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, we can double check this. But I'm just so many things on my mind right now, packing and getting ready for this trip. My brain is fried.
Well, we can't wait to hear all about it, man, when you get back. It should be good.
Yeah, I'm pumped. So anyway, yeah, you know, like when you think about like the 24-105, you think travel, like, you know, when you go on a trip with family or you just out and about, like that's, you know, kind of your lens too as a go-to. And it's just, you think of portraits, you think of food, you think of, you know, telephoto portraits, you think of all these different things you can do with it. It's a perfect lens. So what about you? If, you know, I know I'm more on the travel side of stuff. I know you do travel, but if you were to go and like land or architecture side of stuff, where would you land?
Yeah, I think if I'm kind of traveling versus doing architecture stuff, I think that's kind of two different packing of things. I mean, if I was just doing architecture, I would probably, from a lens perspective, I'd probably just bring my 24 tilt shift, and that would be my go-to for the entire trip. It's super versatile. Again, you can crop in if you kind of need to kind of create a little bit of compression with the scene. Again, it's not as ideal as having maybe like the 45 or something, or again, using the 24 with a teleconverter. But from a travel perspective, if I'm just bringing one lens with me, it's Canon has. So I travel when I only bring one body with me, the EOS R. And I know a lot of folks have kind of trashed the EOS R, and there's definitely room for improvement. I know Canon has the R5 coming out here soon, which I think a lot of Canon shooters are really, really excited about. But the EOS R is a great camera. It's basically a smaller version of the 5D Mark IV, which is a fantastic workhorse body. There's some things about the EOS R that are better. It's smaller, it's form factor. It's got some other cool features that you can do with a mirrorless that you can't do on a regular DSLR, but it does only have one memory card slot. So that I know can be a deal breaker for a lot of folks. And then it's why it's not my main shooter when I'm doing everything else. But getting back to the travel thing, it's a great small full frame camera with about 34 megapixels. I mean, it's plenty of quality there. And so I actually pair that with the 24-240 lens from Canon. It's a mirrorless only. It's not one of their L series lenses, but it does amazing, amazing work. I've taken it to the Caribbean. I've taken it on a safari in Africa. In the, it, you know, again, with that EOS R body and that 24-240, like I got reach for almost everything. I can kind of go a little bit wider. If I need to get some pretty landscapes, I can then, you know, zoom in and try and get an animal that's maybe a little bit in the distance. You know, again, great. Just if you're traveling around Europe for a couple of weeks or something, again, I mean, what a great lens option. So you, when you're in a city, you can kind of get some of those wider angles at 24 of, you know, some of the architectural buildings and some of the stuff in the city. And then when you're driving through the countryside, you know, you can zoom in and, you know, photograph some of the seagulls on the coast or something. So it's a really great versatile setup. It's small, it's light, it gives you full frame, high image quality. I've been pretty happy with it as kind of my one, you know, my one choice go-to.
Perfect. So, thought to ask you this here, and not to, you know, just to say, like, if you were to have one filter to carry with you, not branded, just one filter, you know, because, you know, we can talk that other stuff later, but if you were to have one filter with you to take, be it for your architecture, you could break them out, which would you, or, you know, separate, what would you take and why?
I mean, I'd probably still just take the circular polarizer. I know I talked about that. One of the last architectural episodes that we did. It's so versatile in terms of what it can do, because I mean it does block a little bit of light, so you can kind of fake a long exposure there with it. It adds some contrast and pop, it reduces glare. For me, it's a great go-to option. What about you? What would you pick?
You know, probably the same thing. You know, and that's the thing I think that's really notable with this conversation with here is because a lot of individuals end up buying a UV filter just to protect the front of their lens. And I'll tell people, you know, participants in workshops or friends, anyone, I'll tell people like, you know, UV filters are great for that, but like a polarizer, like we kind of talked about earlier, I think, you know, before, but it was like, you know, polarizers, like really, they'll protect your lens too. They're more expensive, but they'll still protect it. But then you actually get a bit of a benefit to the filter itself. You know, you can polarize or turn it off or take it off. But so I'm like you, you know, I polarizers are pretty much my favorite filter that's out there.
Yeah, I mean, it just works well. Like I said, if you're in the architectural photography, it's the one filter I think that you kind of have to have. And I think if you're doing travel photography and you really, like you said, you want one filter or you just want it to protect your lens or something, I think the circular polarizer is probably the number one choice.
Absolutely. I agree. I concur.
Nice. So, and now I recently got, since we're on the travel and side of things, and I do want to jump back into one more camera thing before the episode ends, but I did just get my hands on fairly recently the Peak Design travel tripod, and I haven't had a chance to actually travel with it thanks to the coronavirus, but I think for what they did with that, I'm super excited to use it, because again, if I'm trying to travel as light as possible, it's a really small, compact, light tripod.
Yep.
And it just doesn't take up a lot of space. And I feel like the tripod is something that always is just taking up so much space in a bag, whether you're backpacking, and you know, hiking to a spot, or you're trying to stuff it in a bag, a suitcase, as you're kind of jetting off to someplace. So I'm excited to try that out. What are you using for your travel tripod these days?
Well, so I've been utilizing, it's a tripod company here in Colorado. It's called Colorado Tripod Company. And they are a little newer, but if you look them up, if you check out their ball heads, their tripods, I just have been absolutely loving, their four series, I think they call it, three series, four series, but it's three leg columns. It's just incredible. And it's based off of, you know, a lot of it's based off the Gitzo, Traveler, I think. So it kind of falls in that line with the Gitzo Traveler, with really right stuffs, small little compact guy. And then this one. And the thing is, though, is the weight of it and the size of it is not meant to be like an ultralight, tiny, like Peak Design. It's meant to be a little bigger, a little more robust, because for me, when I'm out and I can only take one tripod, I have to sacrifice a little bit of my weight, if you will, because I'm not specifically just traveling via like coach car, you know, going to hotels.
Yeah, no,
you know,
absolutely. You know.
So, but I'm also not wanting a tripod that weighs without a head. I don't want a 5-pound tripod, just legs. And so these come in a little over 2 pounds, a little under 3 pounds, somewhere in there.
That's not bad. That's still pretty light.
It's really light. The whole setup with their Aspen ball head, and then the other ball head is the, gosh, we're gonna have to put these in the show notes. Which we totally can. But the whole setup is 4 pounds or less. I love it. So it's great. So if you have some breeze, it doesn't move it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then I take out the center column because I don't want the extra column anyway for the weight. So that's where I save a little bit.
Okay.
But it's carry on TSA. It's perfect.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're talking about, you know, kind of the things that work for us, and everybody based off of their situation and what they're photographing needs to figure out what's going to work for them. Like I said, I mean, for me, a lot of the stuff, I think the Peak Design tripod is going to be great. It's small, it's light. And you with, you know, definitely a heavier focus on that landscape stuff. I mean, if you're, you know, potentially near the ocean, it's windy, you know, you probably want that something maybe just a little bit heavier and a little bit beefier.
Yeah.
Just to give you that a little bit more stable platform than you might get with some of the other tripods. Yeah. But you know, there's so many options out there, I think, on all of the gear that we've talked about here. I mean, I know Sony has some of their crop sensor. I don't know, I think it's like the A66 series 100, say 6600.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, again, great camera option for folks who maybe don't want or can't spend the money on a full frame. Canon has their entire Rebel series. They also have, you know, other cameras in the EOS R, or they have the EOS M as well. So, I mean, there's tons of, I think, options out there for folks in really any budget that works for, mm-hmm. you know, that to find something that works for you in your budget and kind of what you want. I mean, we're talking, you know, full frame, maybe someone who's a little bit more serious in terms of photography and what works for us, but you know, find the things that work for you from a budget standpoint and fit your needs in terms of what's the image that you're really trying to capture. You know, if you're just going to be setting up a tripod in a city, yeah, like maybe you can go with a small aluminum tripod. I think like Slick and some of those other companies, you know, make of those. Whereas, you know, if you are going to be doing some more of the landscape stuff, like you said, you know, this Colorado tripod company, Gitzo, three-legged things. There are so many good options out there that make really sturdy tripods that are going to give you that platform that you need to get those really sweet landscape shots.
Right. And then, you know, thinking, you know, kind of recapping that lens choice, you know, going that 24 millimeters is awesome for landscapes. It's great for architecture as well. It's great. It really covers the gamut. 24 to the 105 for me on the Sony system, the 240.
It's 240. Yeah.
That's insane.
Again, and it's insane. It's not their L lens, but I mean, it's still a pretty, I think that's something that we can kind of talk about too, maybe in another episode, is, you know, how many pixels do you really need and how good of image quality do you need to deliver something either for Instagram, for a client, kind of whatever it is. And I think, I know you have a good example that we can, we'll hold that to share when we kind of talk about that. But I think, and you don't always have to have the top of the line to get the image that you want.
You don't. Absolutely. So, yeah. Well,
cool. Well, I think this was good. What, you had one more thing?
No. I was going to say, I thought this was really fun because we really just covered, you know, some basic, you know, just lens, because I know people are always curious, like what's a really popular, what's the best favorite, perfect, whatever travel lens, what's the perfect travel setup, you know? And so ultimately it's keep it light, keep it simple. And then, you know, essentially keep it like accessible too. And so if you keep it light and keep it simple, it'll be easy to be accessed. And so you can pretty much carry it in a little bag, like a shoulder bag or a hip bag. And, you know, when you're thinking of travel and you're thinking of just one lens kind of setup, really being able to get that photograph before the light changes or before the person walks out of the room or before, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. But
no, I think that's a great point, because like I think we said it at the beginning of the episode, it's so easy to just have so much stuff and you want to bring everything with you. Can you get by with one thing, and is that going to actually allow you to get the shot? Because like you said, it's accessible because it's right there. You're not fiddling with different changing lenses and all that. So I like that. That's good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, cool, man.
And lenses can add up in cost too. If you end up, you know, you can buy one body, but then you can buy 200 lenses. That gets expensive. So,
yeah, it gets expensive. And then just for you, so I did look real quick, not, you know, I thought I would look, and I don't, like I said, my brain is all over the place, but it is a F4 constant, 24-105, F4 constant. What about the Sigma or the Canon, the 24-240?
The Canon, so it's variable. I think it's 5.6 to 7.1 maybe. So there's a little bit more variability there. Again, it's not an L lens. So you don't have the weight, you don't have maybe as good of image quality as you're going to get from that Sony 24-105. But
yeah,
again, it's awesome. Well, you know, you're hanging out with your family on the beach, you're taking landscape photos. I mean, it can kind of do it all. Travel again to, you know, I took it to Africa and got some pretty sweet animal shots there. So it was good.
You did. And then for the listeners and for people watching this, when we say variable, just because this might be a topic or a concept that might not be understood. So when we're saying variable, when you're thinking all lenses, when they're variable, either they're constant or they're variable. Constant, my 24-105 is F4 at 24 and at 105.
Yep.
Adam's lens is going to be variable. So it's whatever the widest aperture is going to be at 24, be that 4.5, 5.6, 7.1. Whenever he zooms into 240, that aperture is going to get smaller. So it might be 7.1 at 240, but at 24, it'll be an F4.5. And as you zoom in, it just has to change. So they cost more. Exactly. When you get a constants cost more, but they give better results. not to say though that you have to spend the money specifically to get a great shot. And that's what Adam was saying.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll probably talk about
those
numbers at some point, because it's confusing because Joe was saying smaller and the number's actually getting bigger. So we'll talk about
We'll talk that
at some point. Yeah, but yeah. I think this was good.
This was fun.
Again, keep it small, keep it light, and enjoy your travels.
Yeah. All
right. So.
Yeah, you know. So yeah, and speaking of travels, I'll be back shortly, and we'll get it. You know, I'll recap kind of how this all goes. It's gonna be, I don't know, it'll be fun getting out finally. Yeah.
Can't wait to hear it. All right. So with that. Thanks, everyone, again, as always, for tuning in. We appreciate it. We are on In Focus Videocast on YouTube. You can find us there on In Focus Videocast at your favorite podcast. If you don't have us on the screen, you can take us on the go, listen to us in your car, on the airplane, all of those fun things. Please subscribe either on YouTube, iTunes, wherever. Tell your friends. Let us know how we're doing by emailing us at infocusvideocast@gmail.com. We do want to hear from you. If you have topics that you want us to talk about, any sort of stuff like that, send them our way.
Yeah. So
with that, I think we're good here, Joe. Enjoy your trip, my friend.
Thanks, dude. All right.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Take care.
Until next time.
All right. Bye.